Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm gonna be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
I have a pleasure to introduce Jemaja Renyuk-Adubi, who is somatic therapist, mentor, specialist, dance as medicine facilitator. And today we have the session about mourning, a path to embodied freedom. And is talking, I think we'll lead about the body does not lie. It's unlike the mind. The body does not know how to lie. And I believe the session will lead really be truthful to our own body. And I'm giving back to Jemaja. Welcome here.
Thank you, Manika. So if this was our first date, and I'm sure for you it is our first date, I would want to know who you are, why you do what you do, what you do. What are the most exciting and powerful tools you use to reach your intended goals? And what is the latest and most amazing discovery you've done in your field of expertise? So since French are not very good at dating, yeah, we were a little bit too direct. We go like straight for the kill. I will still tell you about these different things about myself before we experience together some guided journeys, and I can give you different tips around mourning as a path to embodied freedom. So I am a somatic therapist, an embodiment mentor, a dancer, a yoga instructor madly in love with the Vedas, and a Rosen Method bodywork practitioner with 3 decades of experience. I have built practices and taught dance as medicine and spiritual retreats internationally since the early 90s. I specialized in ACE, which is adverse childhood experiences. ACEs are now recognized by the medical community thanks to a lady who wrote a book that I'm gonna show you right now. It's called The Deepest Well, from Nadine Burke-Harris, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. And that is really the roots of my work from the Rosen Method practice that I was deeply trained with Marion Rosen in the late 90s. So I will read you how she explained what are adverse childhood experiences and how they organized. And now that, you know, many of us, I think, in the field of somatic and embodiment were, you know, very aware of this statistic, but she really gave us the medical stamp of approval, which seems like, you know, in this Western society, science is a very important way to help us spread the words to the masses. So ACEs, there is 10 markers. Number one, emotional abuse, recurrent. Physical abuse, recurrent. Sexual abuse with contact. Physical neglect, emotional neglect. substance abuse in the household, like living with an alcoholic person or someone using drugs, mental illness in the household, living with someone who suffered from depression or mental illness, or who attempted suicide, mother treated violently, divorce or parental separation, and criminal behavior in the household. So those ACEs now are recognized by the medical community as major precursors to very rampant diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, debilitating hypermobility, chronic pulmonary infections. And she says, you know, we're talking about prolonged activation of the stress response system without adequate support. And that's important as well. And that with every ACE a child has, the risk of tolerable stress tipping into toxic stress increases as the system responds more frequently and intensely to multiple stressors. So what does that really mean and why is it important? Well, first it means that childhood trauma is culminative. And also that, you know, for our lives, children or adults, our immune system can be extremely damaged by stress and cumulative stress. So for me, you know, with a marker of number 8 out of a 1 to 10, and that people that have 4 or more are considered at high risk, that people with a score of 6 have 20 years less in the lifespan than people that don't have ACEs, and that, you know, now is proved medically. Well, with my marker of 8, with mainly some issue with my joints, with hypermobility, I believe that I'm really a model for the power of healing. And that's why I'm speaking with you today. Now, at this point, you must have recognized a French accent. Yes, I was born in France and I lived in California, in New Zealand, in Hawaii, in British Columbia, in Indonesia, since I escaped my father's abuse, one or too many days of physical beatings. And that day I picked myself off the floor. I had, you know, been thrown down, kicked in the gut, and that was enough. I opened the door and I ran. I ran through the garden, I jumped over the fence, I ran down the street, and I never came back to live with them. I was 16 years old and I had been raised mostly by my father since I was 5 years old. So you could say that I was propelled in my healing path at a young age. And the reason why I do what I do at this point is that I believe that not everybody needs to go down into the labyrinth of the body mind with a machete, making a pathway for healing and wholeness. I feel that if I'm able, through my work and my life, to avoid others to spend half of their lifetime finding the path to finally anchor a cellular experience of self-love and trust in grace, then this life will have been well spent. So good day to you. Thank you for those of you who are joining us late. My name is Yemaya Renuka, also known by my friend as Indira. So before I tell you more about, now that you know a little bit why I do what I do, and I tell you more about the power of mourning as a path to embodiment and freedom, and also about the heart of belonging, which is something I really love to speak about, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about what I know about the body. The body does not lie. So it's interesting because my mentor, longtime mentor, Marion Rosen, who was a, you know, an amazing pioneer in the somatic movement, used to always tell us, you know, at the contrary of the mind, the body does not lie, it doesn't know how to lie. And I was just sitting, you know, with what I was going to share with you this morning. And, you know, that's been, that sentence has been in my head since I was in my late 20s. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, it doesn't lie, but it dissimulates. And it's really good at that. So the body doesn't lie, but the body holds. The body holds until the entire being is ready to be facing and expressing the emotions that are triggered as we move through life. As we are children, we have very little defenses against the tumult, the chaos, the abuse, the trauma that life can bring our way. So what happened is that we use our muscle system to cope and hold, right? So like, let's say there is repetitive fear. So you see my body, right? So at some point, there is so much of that repetitive pattern of fear that these shoulders won't be able to come back down until we find the key and the map that will allow them to unwind. This is a really beautiful organic system that we have. Because it's like, you know, like it's putting things away, right? You're putting them away for later. Because it's not accepted in our society, there is no training in our education system or in our Western society to really go, ah! You know, or like, you know, like really let the waves of grief move through the body or express our anger. So we hold, and these holdings become positioning, right? So for me, having the experience of my mother disappearing when I was a young child, and the pain of that separation with this being that I loved so much, I learned to protect my heart. You know, this hurts. And then there was, you know, repetitive abandonment because I was able to see her at some, you know, like there was a long time I didn't know where she was. Then there was, you know, visits that were allowed. So there was like the connection. And then again, there was the abandonment, connection, abandonment. So that shoulder, before I started the work, the somatic therapy, was pretty much like this, right? Other type of positioning, let's say that, you know, the violence, you know, another one that I had as well, you know, so we have, because of the violence, depending if you are wired into like a fiery type of person, you can move a fiery design this lifetime, you know, you might move into defiance, which I did. So it was like, you know, you're bombing the torso forward, you know, the arch of the back is going, you know, that's the defiance positioning, which I see a lot in my practice. Or if you've been coming with a gentler, softer, more timid makeup, you might go into compliance, you know, when there is abuse and violence. So you would see people with a, you know, a bombed chest and a tilted pelvis forward, a little bit like a dog, you know, that brings the tail in. If there has been perhaps sexual abuse from man's side of the family, you might turn in on your right side, which we see often as the masculine side. You know, you might turn the front of the hip in to protect, you know, from sexual activity in that area. If it came from the other side, from the female side, you know, you might also see people with the left side being turned slightly to protect, to curve in. So we do all this positioning, and we have many until, you know, until one day we are realizing that these positionings are not allowing us to live in a life of freedom. There is a lot of choice restriction, right? So not only physical, you know, ability to move freely, but also the emotional reaction. You know, so that when life is presenting us with something, we're still reacting from the past positioning instead of being current, being present, and being able then to have the choice to go, oh yeah, I want to do this. Oh sure, I'll take this person in my field. So I'd like to speak a little bit about embodied freedom. What does that mean? We've been talking a lot about embodiment during the conference, and it was beautiful to see at the opening panel, many people have a different definition of what embodiment was for them. And for me, I like to call it embodied freedom. First of all, it's full of breath. It's a body that can completely breathe and move. It's a relaxed, it's a solar plexus and diaphragm area. It's a soft belly. And then it's the ability to choose. It's a little bit like a healthy muscle. You know, a healthy muscle, just open, close, open, close. That's a healthy muscle. It's not always open and it's not always closed, which the position muscle group end up being, right? So the heart, open, close. And, you know, people are trying sometimes to live like, oh, I want to be in my open heart all the time. Okay. Yeah. And it's also really beautiful to see that, you know, your heart closes sometimes and it's all right. You know, and being with that, you know, tracking, you know, why did my heart close here? And how do I reopen it most importantly? So in embodied freedom, you know, it's that awareness and that choice to decide to open or close, having healthy boundaries. Let's see. For the past 3 years, I took all my tools. I sat with them and translated them because most of my work was very touch dependent, right? You know, I had to be in body with people, you know, doing some what I call muscle whispering to help people let go of this positioning. And I felt that it was time for me, I was becoming more and more international, to create a system that would really catapult what I call the sincere seekers of healing into their vision of embodied freedom. So I created this methodology, which I'll, you know, share some, you know, some aspect with you today, so that people could really reach their goals around that. How do we go from victim to victor? So sometimes people go, you know, like, oh, you know, I've healed myself, but my sister didn't. Or you see people that have been so attached to their victim story. You know, like this happened to me and I can't move from there. This is who I am. This was done to me. It's almost like there's an identification, a pride, ego attachment that really gets hold of that identity of victim and doesn't let go. So it's a little bit, you know, I'm not denying, yes, you know, you have been victim of terrible abuse and my heart goes out to you. And at some certain level, I know what that means. What I'm denying is that you have to stay there and that you don't have the choice to move. You know, it's a little bit like, I know there's a lot of British, watcher today, viewers, since this beautiful conference, you know, started in England. But if some of you remember Charlie Brown and the Peanuts and Linus with his dirty blankie. So a lot of people are still holding that dirty blankie, you know, and dragging it around a little bit, what, you know, what we would call here in America, baggage. And you don't have to keep living with your baggage. And that's, you know, a very important message that I want to model. I've had my share of baggage and it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, healing for me was not, it was not a choice really. It was destined and it was survival. It was hard. It was hard. And I don't regret one bit. You know, like all these years of grief, anxiety, rage, all the failed relationships, all the years of searching and finding, experimenting and sharing with the world, all these were made worth it. When I see a client suddenly having this amazing life-changing breakthrough, when I see a student, you know, like really getting it on this like kinesthetic, you know, really physiological level, or when I see my reclaimed wholeness being mirrored through the screen, it makes it all worth it. I am grateful for my path, and I want to welcome you to yours. How do we go from victim to victor? How do we move from grief to love? How do we use our mourning to come to an embodied freedom? I'd like to go more into that in just a moment. I'm wondering if there is some burning questions.
Just mention like embodied freedom. They really love the phrase, but I felt like people are really digesting what you are talking. Perhaps the questions will come maybe later.
Thank you, Monica.
Yeah.
So when I work with people, I can see, I can hear, if you would, and that sometimes there is an unconscious part of themselves, you know, of their mind body, that says, I can't let go of this because there is something I need to reclaim for myself in this pain, in this holding, in this positioning. I'm like, okay, that's valid, definitely. So let's go into it. What needs to be reclaimed? I think the first thing that needs to be reclaimed is power. When there's been abuse, when there's been trauma, there's been usually a sense of powerlessness. So the first thing that we need to reclaim is power. And I'm going to take you through a little journey in just a minute. The second thing, I think, is forgiveness. Forgiving the others, those that have abused, and forgiving oneself, which is a step not that many people do, and that's I find you know, crucial and essential in my programs. So power, forgiveness, then we get to self-love, because we've been able to forgive the self, and then it's time to start bringing the self-love in. And then for some of us, there is a teaching, and the teaching is not just for ourselves, but it's also because many of us, and it's a beautiful thing, are really tapping into their own healer, their own teachers, right? So there is something that, as a way to integrate, you want to be able to perhaps teach the world or teach your children, you know, or teach your neighbors. So teaching. And then at the very center of that, there is what I call the heart of belonging. Because for the most part, when we've been going through trauma at a young age, or even as young adults, there is that sense of there is something wrong with me. We just take it on. That's natural. You know, we don't know better. You know, like if this happened, it must be because I did something wrong, or there is something, you know, like really essentially wrong with me. And in that feeling of wrongness, there is a letting go of that sense of belonging to the family, of belonging to the neighborhood, to the classmates, you know, to society even. So I believe that this is very important work that we need, is to bring ourselves back to the heart of belonging. I use maps a lot in my work, and, you know, for this particular one, I like to use the medicine wheel. Now I'll show you a little bit how that works. Some of you might be familiar with, you know, Native American or First Nations spiritual tradition, where we use the medicine wheel for healing and for awareness. And so that would look like something like this. So that's one of my medicine wheel, you know, just for a quick visual. And so in that medicine wheel, we would start with fire, which is where the power of transformation would lie, you know, like the alchemist inside of us. So power and fire would be lying in the south of the wheel. And then we would move toward the west. And in the west, which is also the element of water, we would find the ability to forgive, right? We would find the ability to cry, to let go, to forgive. Then we would move into the north and the element of earth, which is also related to our body. In that body awareness, we would reclaim self-love, self-care. We would be really able to anchor that sense of beingness deep into the cells. And then we would move to the air or the east quadrant. And that's also related to the mind. And so the ability to teach, and also because it's in the air element, the ability to breathe and communicate. So that's where we would put our teaching, our integration. You know, we learn as we teach and teach as we learn. That's how we really ground, you know, like something that's new, you know, new information. And then at the very center of the wheel, we would find the heart of belonging. It's like the powers of above and below, and sitting in the center of our wheel, that sense of beingness and belonging. So I think I would like to take us through a little journey, unless we have some burning questions.
Yeah, there are some. I can perhaps read first one. Every time I take step towards feeling better, there is a part of me dragging me back in the stuckness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any suggestion?
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's the pull, you know, like if, like in the Vedas, you know, in the yogic tradition, they call that the samskaras. And, you know, the way I like to see it, it's like, imagine, like, you know, in your brain, there is pathways, or a little bit like a freeway, right? So if you keep driving on that same road, you know, with your mind, right? You know, it's like, okay, when I do this, this happened. When I do this, this happened. You know, it's like, when I open my heart, I get hurt. When I open my heart, I get hurt. And you've been going through that, you know, because originally, right, there is a wound that still need to be worked with. But there is that's, and maybe you've worked with it quite a bit, yeah? But there might be still a little piece that keeps dragging you back on this same very pathway, this very same freeway. And it's like, you know, any roads, the more you've been driving on it, the deeper the tracks are. So that's when we really need to bring our practice to rebuilding structure, you know, and that's something else I wanted to address. So maybe we go there now. I love, it's like, you know, I love to pick cards too. And I had today for me in this talk, there was the dolphin card that came. So like, let's flow. Okay, let's flow with what is needed in this moment. So I think there is like very important steps, and they're progressive in the pathway to healing. So there is unwinding. You have to be able to unwind what has been held. Right? So we've talked about that hold, that positioning. And you need to have, you know, probably find your path to some healers or some teaching that allow you to unwind. That unwinding of the body mind, of the muscle system, usually comes with a lot of releasing. If you're releasing grief, and grief has been held in the body, then it's really starting to trust your oceanic wave of healing. There's an oceanic wave of healing that's an organic system in our body. So letting the tears go, moving through the grief. If there is restrained anger that's been held in the diaphragm, or in the neck, in the shoulder, very often I find really great release when there is, you know, like dance, you know, like cool, cool, or like martial art, you know, like moving the fire, right? Or like shaking. If there's been mental construct and a lot of judgment, one of the medicine would be laughter, right? And being able to laugh to ourselves, you know, to just like disempower this mental construct. So when there's been movement and unwinding and release, you know, at the different stage of your healing journey, that is, you know, first of all, that is a very vulnerable place. When you've just been opening and unwinding, that's vulnerable. You know, if you're coming to me in my office and you're getting, you know, on the table bodywork somatic session, I want to make sure that you're not going out, you know, to town in the evening. You're not going to the grocery stores in the evening. You are so opened up. You just want to go home, have a nice meal, go for a bath, maybe, you know, write in your journal, go for a walk, because you're a little bit like Bambi, you know, like coming out of the womb. It's like, whoa, okay. We, you know, did a big unwinding. You know, we took off the shell, you know, we took off the protection. So that's vulnerable, you want to integrate. So step one, unwinding. Step two, you want to restructure in proper alignment. So, you know, to the person, and I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, but, you know, so like, you know, like each time I feel like I'm getting better, I'm being dragged back. You know, that's really when you need to start having a very strong structure. You need discipline. You need self-care practices. You know, yoga, for example, is a wonderful way. You know, like for me, in my path of unwinding, there was all this unwinding happening. And then, boom, you know, I was, you know, sitting on my cushion in a Zen center. You know, I was in my yoga classes and learning not only to discipline my body, but also to discipline my mind. That's important. You know, it's like, yes, we do. You know, there's a stage where you want the mind to take the back burner. You want the mind to stop being in the starlight and let the body wisdom come through. And then you want to use the beautiful tools that the mind can bring, which is the discipline, right? So did I answer a little bit of the question?
For me, yes. It was a question by Sarah, yeah, if she wants to maybe say more something. Yes, Sarah said yes, thank you. Yeah, okay. There was also another one. Somebody was asking about the book, perhaps, but we can maybe do at the end.
Book. Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, actually, I'm speaking of book, it reminds me, I wanted to read you about another little book. I was published this summer with 18 other practitioners, and it's called Evolutionary Healer. I'll just read you something that explains a little bit, you know, how I got to where I am now. So it's called, the chapter is called Unwinding the Core. 1991, I'm a 25-year-old living in a monastery. I'm hungry for peace and self-knowledge. And I want to deal with the anger that surfaces in my intimate relationships with men. I am a survivor of physical and emotional violence in one hand, and early childhood abandonment on the other. Both of my parents did their very best with what they had. Both are now beloved and forgiven. They gifted me with the entry to my life's work. Regardless of what occurred in my childhood, I committed to attain my full potential and follow life invitation. The intimate relationship that came for me in the quietness of living in deep meditation had the power to surface my deepest wound. So I got involved with someone at the monastery. One morning, I walked into the dining room, bent in two, walking like an arthritic 90-year-old woman. I was 25. The tightness around my heart was so intense that it was impossible for me to stand erect. Pain contorted my body, almost crippling me. I discovered a pamphlet about the Rosen method of somatic therapy and body work on the table where I sat. And the rest is her story. So I just wanted to, you know, give you an example of, you know, how strong the body can react sometimes, because my abandonment had been majorly triggered. at that time. Why is it important to see that perhaps our lives are about teaching? You know, it's like there is two choices. You know, there is really choosing, that's what I call the sincere seeker, you know, and those of us that are not really ready to be free. The sincere seeker is able to see that their life could be a model. It could be, you know, it's like, you know, maybe that's the person I was describing at the beginning. You know, it's like maybe that's the one who goes in the jungle with the machete and just create the pathway to wholeness and healing. And I think at this time on the planet, there's more and more of us that are doing this work. So let's take a little journey before we go into the physicality of mourning itself, because that was the subject today, and the importance of knowing how to let go, you know, on a daily basis, but also when there is big loss in our lives. So, you know, maybe stretch a little. We've been sitting for a while, so just come, get into your body. Move your shoulders, take some nice deep breath. Stand, arms, hands, wrists, feet. Face. Well, it feels good. Okay. Close your eyes. Thank you for being here with me. Thanking yourself for being here today. I'd like you to tune into your breath. And take yourself immediately on top of a beautiful mountain, a hill, a forest, a place that you love and that you know, what you might call a place of power in nature. The earth is here and she's an amazing ally. You are now in the center of a medicine wheel, if you would. There's space for you to turn in each direction. You are grounded. You feel your energy is connected with the center of the earth. You might even visualize her heart beating. You are safe. Tapping into this field of goodness that we have created here today in this instant, a bubble of safety. And you're turning toward the direction of the south. And I would like you to imagine that there is a guide or an ally, or perhaps even a departed beloved waiting for you as you turn to the south, the element of fire, the element of transformation, of alchemy. Take a deep breath. This ally, and just trust your intuition. Usually the very first thing that comes to you, it could make absolutely no sense. Just trust what comes to you. This ally holds something in its hand. It could be an animal, a being. And they're holding something that is important for you to reclaim your full power at this very time. The body mind speaks in metaphor. Just accept what is being presented to you. Perhaps it's a fruit and you're like, well, thank you. What am I supposed to do with this? And let your guide perhaps whisper in your ear. This is for your power. And this is what you are meant to be doing with. Giving thanks for this apparition I would like you now to turn toward the west, the water element, the sunset, the flow, the ancestors. And in this place of wisdom comes a new ally, or perhaps another beloved that has departed. And they also come with a gift. And that gift is about forgiveness. So look at this ally in the eyes and accept the gift of forgiveness for your past, for the circumstances, for the abusers. And then finally for yourself. Forgive yourself for taking this very challenging path, perhaps, you've been on. And trust that there is a good purpose to it. Accept the gift. Perhaps ask for instruction about it. And then, with gratitude, let your ally depart. Now turn to the direction of north, the earth, the body, and call in an ally, a guide, a friend from the other side. Again, there is a gift that is being offered. And now this is about self-love and self-care. It could be anything. It could be a jewel box. It could be a fruit, a feather, a book. Receive that. And bring it into your heart. And let that guide go. And then now turn to the east, the element of air, the place of the teacher, of the mentor. And the wind starts blowing and this last ally is coming to you with your final gift. And an instruction. And once again, receive this element that perhaps you can turn into a teaching at some point with gratitude. Bring it into your heart. And now step into the center. You are in the center of the heart of belonging. When you take this journey, you are willing for anything that is not grace, that is not in alignment with your highest purpose, to come up and bubble to the surface. Know that you have the tools, the allies, the teachers, the mentors to walk with you that path of purification, alignment and strength. You belong to this humanity. You belong to your evolution. You belong to this community. You belong to yourself. I would like you to take one last deep breath. And then rub your hands together. If you are trying to make fire in between your hands. And place one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly. Just feel yourself, feel this good body, this amazing vehicle. There's so much fun you can have together, so many adventures. I give thanks for you. And gently open your eyes. So I want to address a little bit, because our time is starting to move, the physicality of mourning. So through our life, there is small losses and big losses. So I want to address the small losses, you know, like the everyday losses, because I think they really make a huge difference in our ability to move through life with a lightened heart. You know, because in our society, we're not supposed to really express how we feel, right? It's like, hi, how are you? Fine. Fine. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks. You know, there's little things that happen in our everyday life. I feel like if we're really being able to be with them, to give their, you know, us a presence, that they don't have to accumulate. The more little frustration we let accumulating into our space, right, the more positioning we're going to have the tendency to move with. It's very hard to be like an open vessel, a current vessel, you know, if you're always going like, oh, it's okay, you know. So let's say, for example, you applied for a job and you were really excited about it, right? And then you find out that you actually didn't get it. Oh, it's okay, you know, can just like brush it off. Oh, it's fine, you know. No, I mean, if you're really listening to your body, I believe that you'll feel something tight, maybe around the diaphragm, maybe, you know, if you feel like, you know, if you have a pattern of feeling like, you know, abandoned, not accepted, you know, your shoulders might come up, you know, there's something that's not quite right, you know, you're not open and, you know, deeply breathing. So just take the time, you know, if you when you're home, you have a space where you meditate, just do a little presencing. That's different from meditating, right? Presencing is like being willing to be with the feeling, okay? So, you know, something simple. I know I had a disappointment a few days ago and I was like, okay, let's play with that. So I'd go like, you know, of course you're not gonna do that in public, you know, but just giving it a voice, right? Giving it a physical expression, you know, and then after doing that, I could feel, you know, my solar plexus, my diaphragm was just like, oh, my big spacious breath just came back. Because I didn't go just like, oh, it's okay. You know, I just went like, darn, yeah, meow, you know, like maybe just go for like, you know, just let yourself express. Let's move out of the body, okay? That will allow you to be current. So every day we let go of something, you know, and, you know, we let go of our youth. We let go of our maybe a career, you know, so many of us these last few months have let go of careers, you know. Take the time to mourn those changes. You know, it's like, and the mourning is honoring. It's really about honoring what is being taken away. Honoring the connection, the relationship you had with what was taken away. Maybe there was hope, there was expectation, there was attachment, there was tenderness, there was love. Honor all this. Honor yourself, you know, to have those connections so that you're free to have more. Because if you don't, you know, you're going to keep contracting and not let your space being open for the good things that you want to create to land there, okay? One of the other card that I picked up today was the old must be released for the new to enter. How appropriate. The old must be released so that the new can enter. So the last piece I want to share, because you know, we have another 5 minutes, I think, is the big losses. You know, the death of the departed. And how do we navigate, you know, healthily with them? I say at first, you know, if something is really fresh, to honor your somatic body, I recommend you do what you used to do with this being, this love, every day. You know, short example, I lost my 14 years dog baby lover partner. That dog traveled the world with me. And it was a big guy, he was 50 pounds. He traveled with me for 14 years. Every day he was with me. When he passed in February, I kept his bed, his pillows, and then later on the box of his ashes in the same spot. So that allowed myself every morning to do what I did every day with him. I stood up, I went and said good day. I lay down on his pillow, I kissed him, which at this point were just the blanket and the pillows. And I went to make my tea, you know, and I kept that for, I think it was almost 3 weeks until my body was like, okay, we can let go of this everyday ritual now, you know? And when the tears would come, I would welcome them because I knew they were my pathway to freedom. I had a few friends of mine that lost their mother over the summer. And, you know, and one, and if you hear my sweet, I hope it's okay for me to share, you know, briefly, you know, but she used to go, you know, every day and on her way to work, I think she was, they would talk on the phone, right? They would like, you know, with these modern cars, we can talk on the phone. And she would talk to her mom every day on the phone, you know, and it took her a few weeks, I think, to be able to do that. But I was like recommending to her, please still do that. Still call your mom in the morning, at least, you know, without the phone, and talk to her every day until one day there is no need to do that anymore. We need to move the energy. Otherwise, we stay stuck. We stay in positioning. We stay in reaction. And that is the contrary to emotional embodied freedom. So I think, I'm not quite sure, is there like one really important question, Monica, I can answer really quickly?
Yeah, there is some burning questions. Perhaps I can, maybe they can maybe connect with you later on if somebody has very burning questions. Sure. But maybe that one, like how to forgive someone who sexually abused you through mm-hmm. the childhood.
Yeah.
How to forgive that person.
How to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's not a, like, it's not a 30-second answer. I think first there needs to be the expression of rage. That's really important, and I don't know if you've done that, but the expression of rage needs to be there. And then underneath that, the pain and the grief need to be honored and acknowledged. And then forgiving yourself for having been in that situation, because very often we guilt ourselves. And then we might be able to forgive the offender and have, you know, fierce compassion. I would love for you to reach out to me. We're going to play a very short video that's going to give you the visual of how to find me. But if you go to theembrace.life, you can just send me your email address and we can set up a time to talk. I'm very, you know, I really want people to be able to do the work. And I see some of my dearest students here today. I'm very devoted to this work and to this path, so I'm happy to be on the phone with you and we can talk more about, you know, your burning questions. I do have a program that's starting very soon, and the little video is going to show that to you. It's the embrace.life, the grief from grief to love and trauma to wisdom. New group program is starting very soon. I also have a lot of YouTube content. So if you look for the embrace.love.life, there's a lot of YouTube content out there. Thank you so much for being with me today. It's such an honor and a pleasure. And Monica, are we able, did we find that little video?
Shot? I'm not sure.
Yes, I have it. Great. I will share it now. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, beloveds. Oh, and there is also, there'll be some bonuses that are going to be announced today or tomorrow, but you have an opportunity to be with me again on this channel, I think, or I mean, you'll figure it out with the embodiment conference, but there is two other opportunity where I'll be working specifically with 20 people around emotional anatomy. Thank you.
There is also a question about the books, if you perhaps maybe show the book.
Oh, yeah. The Deepest Well, Nadine Burke Harris, and the Evolutionary Healer. Oops. My name is Yemaya Rinuka Dubey at the embrace.life.
to explore my website and specifically the Grief to Love, Trauma to Freedom program, where you will find how I transform the pain and suffering you can see in my eyes there at 14 into a life-loving, sometimes quirky French lady traveling the world and sharing the methodology to transform your grief to love and your trauma to freedom. We will be starting in about 10 days and you can find all the details at theembrace.life. I look forward to be engaging with you very soon. Aloha.
Thank you so much, Yanuka. I just want to announce the next session of the channel will be with Lisa Rachel Snyder and will be about finding your gold in the shadows, a practical guide to navigating your dark side for greater wisdom, power, and joy. And please look into the chat. There is all links for a coffee break. If you need to have a chat, debrief, digest, go into coffee break, talk to the people. Please, please, if you feel you really gained so much wisdom and knowledge as everybody felt and you need to have your own time and really revisit the place, please upgrade. There is a link and there is also some installment. It's worthy. You have 1,000 speakers. You wouldn't get anywhere else. And with Yemaya, where can people find you? We already put the links.
Mm-hmm. Theembrace.life.
Yes. Please have a look. If you can maybe copy all the links about embodiment conference, the link, the website for upgrade, everything is in the chat. But I want to also ask you towards the end, Yemaya, what is the top tip for staying embodied? Like a one
the top what?
Top tip for staying tip. Embodied. Yeah.
Tune into your breath. It's all in the breath.
Thank you so much. It's for the real pleasure. And stretch, yes. Breathe and stretch. And dance, yes. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Monica.
I hope to connect you. People love it, saying big thanks. And I think they gained so much. And people, if you have any burning questions, please find Yemaya on her website, on the emails, and go back to the burning questions which you have. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You are loved. You are all loved. Remember that. You are loved. Aloha. Okay. Thanks, Monica.
Merci. Merci. Thank you.